WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Well, well, well. You are listening to the spooky section tonight on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone.
Well done, well done.
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, thank
you.
I mean, dude, I'm shaking right now.
Happy
I'm
Halloween.
Did you get chills?
It was kind of scary.
Oh, hey, thanks, guys. I was kind of anxious going into that, but
no,
thanks, guys.
You rocked that. That was awesome.
It was fitting for Halloween night.
I appreciate it. Well, first of all, happy Halloween to you guys. I hope you guys are all doing well.
Thanks, man.
First of all, let's just go ahead and get it started. Let's give it up for Tanner.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Carolina Panthers have won a football game. I think that's probably the most significant news that I think we have on this show for today. For a while there, I was starting to I'm going to ignore that, Connor. For a while, I was starting to forget what it was like to win an NFL football game. So I'm glad we got it done after watching six losses. Not all of them painful. Some were painful, but we got a win. And if I might bring this up again, I did kind of call this win.
You did call it.
I said, this is the win. This is where we get it. I was very confident. And as we can tell, I was confident for a reason.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Honestly, I mean, first of all, congratulations to Bryce Young, Alabama alumni, just getting his first win in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Outplayed C.J. Stroud.
He did.
Yeah.
Someone, believe me if I'm wrong, I mean, excuse me if I'm wrong. Wow, I said that totally
Believe you
wrong.
If you're wrong? I don't want to believe you if you're wrong.
Believe me if I'm wrong. But aren't they like close, like childhood best friends or something?
Yeah, they played a lot of AAU ball together. They've had the same quarterback coach for a long time. But yeah, they have been a lot around each other for a very long time.
Well, that's kind of cool, especially to get your first win against your best friend. That's pretty
cool.
But I'm actually kind of surprised that the Panthers didn't make a move during the deadline. And that's kind of what I want to get into a little bit today. Today we had the trade deadline go on. And I'm curious to know, let's go ahead and call this trick or treat. Have you guys liked the trade? It's a treat.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I like that. I like it.
What happens if I don't like the trade?
It's a trick.
Oh, I get it now.
Ooh, spooky.
I didn't get it before. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
All right. So basically, we're going to just name off some things, or you guys just want to come in with something high, that a move that you liked, go feel free.
Right.
But I'm going to go ahead and get started off with, I think it's probably like the biggest name that happened today, Chase Young, going to the 49ers, no longer on the Commanders. We saw him battling with injury, come back, rehabbing ACL. I think it's been over like a year now, starting to get back into his routine. But the Commanders, their new ownership, it seems like they're done with Chase Young, and they're shipping him to the 49ers where he can play on the other side of his former college teammate, Nick Bosa. So how do we feel about that move? And I feel like it's a pretty good move if you're 49ers, right?
It is a good move. I do. When I first saw that, I was like, wow, okay. Maybe the 49ers can get some kind of pass rush this season, because so far this season with Steve Wilkes, Nick Bosa has done nothing. Javon Hargrave has been very underwhelming. Eric Armstead has done nothing. And you just have all these other randoms like Drake. What's his name? Drake Jackson, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
It's just like guys who get no pressure. That defense has been getting bullied the last 3 weeks. And,
right. You
know, getting a guy like Chase Young is going to be nice. But I don't really feel like – I think people are really overreacting to what this move means.
That's fair. I think that line needs talent. I think
of course
that's
it needs
a bit,
talent.
That's a big part of it. They need talent. I do think the way that this line has been performing all season really speaks to D'Amico Ryans as a coach, man.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, truly, I really think that he is going to be a really great coach for a very long time. And again, I think, you know, at surface level, doesn't make sense for a defensive line to underperform without, with a different defensive coordinator, which, again, surface level, it's just you would think, oh, you know, these are big guys on the line. If they're strong enough and they're, you know, big enough and they're good at football enough and they can get through the line and they can do this, but that's not exactly, you know, football has one of the more complicated sports ever. So with Chase Young, man, it's a good pickup. The guy is physically incredibly gifted, great get off. He's a big dude, very strong, fast, pretty good bend. I think if he really does want to, you know, take his career to the next level where people thought his career would go, he's got to develop some kind of bag of pass rush moves. That's not really his strength right now. But hopefully that can be done with Steve Wilkes. I don't really know.
And that's the thing we were talking about last week. I know we talked about Steve Wilkes just to a little bit, but as we talked about, like, he's been struggling for the 49ers. Yeah. They've lost their identity from that defensive team, I want to say pass-rushing team.
Right.
Their best player that they just signed to a huge extension in Nick Bosa only has 3 sacks on the year. It's clear to me, I mentioned last week, that it's given kind of a Jonathan Gannon soft coverage kind of defense, and not there's no pass rushing. So,
yeah, and I think that's the reason they're not getting home to any sacks, because everybody's playing so off that it's easy just quick dumps. There's no, like, just – force out in the secondary. Last year, you know, we were talking about D'Amico Ryans and how it would make no sense, but if the coverage isn't very uptight, you know, nobody's open, then the pass rush has a chance to actually get to the quarterback. But
the bend don't break mentality doesn't really work that well in the NFL, especially with how creative run games are now. Mm-hmm. You have to have guys in the box, and especially, I mean, even thinking about the Niners offense, like, you know, that is a team that is defined by getting playmakers the ball in space with guys in front of them. That's what that offense essentially is, if nothing else. And that's what a lot of teams are emulating this year. And to, you know, keep playing that bend and don't break, like, man, they're going to keep getting yards on you no matter what. And that showed in the past 3 games, man. Like, that's there's a reason that they've lost 3 games in a row. And it's not entirely on the defense. But, you know, I do want to say real quick that Steve Wilkes was supposed to be the answer for Carolina, so this makes me feel a little bit better about, you know, I still believe in Frank Reich as a coach, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Connor said, I mean, yeah, they're getting more talent, but like we mentioned, if Steve Wilkes doesn't know how to utilize this talent, then was it worth it? I mean, for the Commanders, though, it's kind of interesting. Like, you get a third-round pick out of it. You also say goodbye to your other defensive end and Montez Sweat.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they got a second-round pick for Montez Sweat.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Because Chase Young was the second overall pick, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's wild, man.
Kind of crazy. I just think that goes to show that the new ownership for the Commanders, they have their sights set on something way different from what Dan Snyder was content with.
I sure would hope so.
So, from what, like,
Magic Johnson, baby.
What everybody's been, like, giving up for these pass rushers and stuff like that, it looks to me like they weren't really high on Chase Young.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very injury prone. He took a while to come back.
He did.
Yeah.
It was almost like he wasn't really taking the rehab serious. It looked like, you know, he was just sitting on the sideline for almost a year. I know what he tore his ACL, correct? Am I correct?
Yeah.
But I saw a thing. It's a 6 to 8 month recovery. He was out for at least
almost nearly 2 seasons.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah. So, and then when he gets back on the field, it just looks like he's, I don't want to say take some plays off, but he definitely doesn't go as hard as he needs to be an actual reoccurring presence on the football field.
Right.
So maybe the 49ers can unlock his insane potential, but we'll see. I don't know.
Doesn't seem like the coach who's there right now is the guy to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know who's the guy to do it?
D'Amico Ryan?
No. Sean Desai.
Sean Desai.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like Sean Desai.
Fair enough.
Don't get me
it
wrong.
It was all jokes. I just wanted to bring it to Philadelphia somehow.
Yeah, well,
of course.
I get that.
But, why wouldn't we?
Well, now that we have our Dolphins fan back, let's get his perspective. Evan, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
It's good to have you back in the studio. I know you weren't feeling too well last week, but I know you missed the showdown between Connor. Connor was looking for your little back
I was
and forth
dodging.
About the
I kind of had to play a role over there. It's kind of him. I don't.
He
I
was don't dodging, really like. But
it's all good. It's good to have you back. Yeah. But so let me ask you, what are your thoughts on this Chase Young trade?
On the Chase Young trade, I mean, we obviously haven't seen too much from him since he has been out for so long, but I do remember his rookie season and even into, like, his early career. Whenever he would get in, there were some plays where he was just scary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He was definitely someone who would put fear into the quarterback's eyes. And obviously we have all these big names on the 49ers defense, and they haven't been performing up to what they're capable of, but I think there's definitely potential there, and it can bring fear into an offense's eyes.
Absolutely, yeah.
If there's anyone that can make it work, it's probably Kyle Shanahan.
Probably.
I mean, probably. But so I ask you,
no,
you don't think so?
No, that's
Kyle Shanahan, I feel, is just so overrated to me, in my opinion.
I get where you're coming from that, but
I'm not a huge fan of Kyle Shanahan.
I don't think there's
one of the Niners not been a contender under Kyle Shanahan.
When have they never had all-pro talent at almost every position?
You still can't blame that on Kyle Shanahan. I mean,
just,
he's
you have all this talent and you can't make it past the second round ever.
I agree. What is Kyle Shanahan actually achieving?
And then when he does make it past the second round, he blows a 21-point lead in this either Super Bowl or in the conference championship.
Football is weird. Super Bowl twice. Football is weird, but I mean, Kyle Shanahan still is been in charge of one of the best teams
regular
in the
season.
NFC.
Regular season teams.
Okay, that doesn't add anything to it doesn't add anything to it. If you are coaching a good football team, you are coaching a good football team, they are getting to last season. What do you expect them to do when they have zero quarterbacks at play? Brock Purdy couldn't throw a ball at the end of the game.
Don't put a backup tight end on Hassan Reddick. That's the thing.
That's part. I understand
it's
that.
Scheme.
That's,
his scheme is just. It's not good.
His scheme is not this. You can't say his scheme's not good.
Not scheme for like that, but just to keep people healthy. He had all the gimmicks and all the pulls and all that kind of stuff.
All the gimmicks? That's modern football is what you're talking about. It's motions and it's pulling guards
and
bringing the fullback
for
in.
It's keeping somebody healthy. Brock Purdy's out. What's his name? Johnson's out. Trey Lance is out. Jimmy Garoppolo's out.
Jimmy Garoppolo is out.
Under his tenure? Under their entire tenure.
It's just a weird thing to. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach.
They run a physical kind of football. That's what they run. And sure, you can blame the assignments on who gets put where. But at the end of the day, this is a run first offense with guys who their main talents are not main talents. I mean, in terms of lead blockers, man, you have Kyle Juszczyk, you have George Kittle, you have Trent Williams. These guys are designed to be out in space and give the playmakers some room. And now they have Christian McCaffrey. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're still on three losses, which does suck. But Kyle Shanahan has produced a really good football team every single year. And you can't, to say the scheme is bad?
I'm not saying the scheme is bad. I'm just saying.
That's what you said.
No.
You said that earlier.
Not scheme is bad, for production. I'm just saying. It's a lot of injuries underneath that scheme just by who blocks who.
Right, but I think that is because it is a mobile and run-heavy offense. I don't think the players – do you think the players are confronting Kyle Shanahan about this and be like, hey, man, we can't do this?
Debo literally came out and said, I don't really feel like playing a running back and wide receiver role.
He wanted to. He called himself a wide back when he came into the NFL.
I think
he
requested a trade because he didn't want to do it anymore.
I think that was more because he was using that to negotiate a contract.
Exactly.
But he did say that, to your point. He did say that.
Yeah, but I think he said that because he wanted to get paid.
Right.
Like
this
he's
is the
playing
time where
two different
going
positions.
Out to the clubs and they were putting on like the James Harden thing. They were putting on the signs in the club.
That was. I don't think that was him disagreeing with how the scheme is run. He knew what his role was, and that is how he advertised himself coming out of the draft.
He knew what his role was in that scheme.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a little like he called himself, oh, I'm a wide back in the draft process when he was going to San Francisco.
But to your point, that's probably why he wanted to get paid, because he knows it's a much more physically demanding scheme, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. If you are a wide receiver who puts himself in danger more often, absolutely. But that's not him saying, oh, this scheme sucks. It's just him saying, pay me more because of what I contribute to this offense, which is completely fair. I can't argue that at all from Debo Samuel's perspective. But, I mean, I'd have to go look at it, but the Niners have finished near the top of the NFC, almost every year when Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach of that football team. So to say he is overrated, I mean, especially in comparison to what the league is doing now, I mean, just overall with how a lot of teams have just head coach carousels every year, I mean, you can't say that this is a overrated or a bad coach.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just saying a lot of people want to say he's one of the best coaches. He's a top 10 coach.
He's just a coach.
Top 10? Maybe top 5.
Give me 9 head coaches. You cannot give me 9 head coaches better than Kyle Shanahan.
I'm going to say he's definitely probably, in my
opinion,
top
3.
Top 3.
Top 3. Has to be.
I mean,
he's definitely top 5.
You can say have Reed, you can have Belichick, and you can have Shanahan. Pete Carroll,
Carroll.
In terms of recently, I think you have to go Kyle Shanahan.
But even recently, look what Pete Carroll's done.
That's fair. But I'm not putting him above Kyle Shanahan.
He
has to be in that conversation of top 4 or 5.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think Kyle Shanahan is a confidently top 3 coach in the league.
I just think when it all comes down to it, you look every week. I mean, you still have Debo Samuel's already still out. Trent Williams is out right now. You look at last year, Nick Bosa was out for a while. You look at all these types of players, all their best players are always injured.
Nick Bosa plays defense for one.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's always an injury on that team. I'm not saying that because of Kyle Shanahan.
I can't blame injuries on Kyle Shanahan. But also, it's like to me, it's like the same point, like kind of like that situation, that narrative where if you're Tom Thibodeau, the NBA coach, and you have Derrick Rose and the Bulls way back in 2012, all your players are getting injured. And, like, from Joakim Noah to Derrick Rose to, like, Kirk Heinrich to Luol Deng, all those players are getting injured. And a lot of fans were speculating it's because Tom Thibodeau has a record of playing players way too long.
Too long, yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Butler, under his tenure, I think played, that NBA Finals game.
Right.
Never took a break. So I kind of see where you're coming from, Connor. It's definitely an interesting conversation, as much as I love to talk about the 49ers. And I feel like I should keep it moving. But I mentioned Pete Carroll.
Right.
And speaking of Pete Carroll, he just made a move. The Seahawks just also made a move. Leonard Williams from the New York Giants is headed over to the Seahawks. I just got to get your guys' reaction. They're speaking of a team that's in the 49ers division, too.
Right.
So
I like that pickup a lot, man. Leonard Williams is a really good defensive tackle, man. He's a really good player. And could you remind me what the trade – does anybody remember
what the transaction was? Now. I can get you. Just give me one second.
Gotcha. Regardless, though.
I know it was like a second-round pick.
Yeah, it was something like that. Regardless, that is a really good addition. That is something that defense is lacking. I can't remember. I thought that they would go Brian Brisee last year in the draft because they needed a lot of help in that interior defensive lineman area. I cannot remember off the top of my head if they still went a good interior defensive lineman at some point in the draft. Obviously, they started out with Devin Witherspoon early on and Jackson Smith and Jigba. But they absolutely needed help on the interior defensive line, and Leonard Williams is a huge pickup for that.
So I just looked it up. They got a 2024 second-round pick and a 2025 fifth-round pick.
I think it's a
win-win.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for a 29-year-old Leonard Williams, he's still a great defender in this league. But to get a second-round pick for him,
that second-rounder is valuable.
It's impressive.
That's a very valuable pick.
Very valuable.
So what do you think is more impressive? I'm not going to not to compare two moves, but so where would you rank them? So you have Chase Young, Leonard Williams, and Montez Sweat.
I think just because Leonard Williams is the best player, I think I would probably go Leonard Williams trade at one. It's also a significant need that the other team has, in my opinion. So I think I'd have to go him at one. Even though it is for a second and a fifth, but Leonard Williams is still a really good defensive tackle. But yeah, them at one, I mean, I don't know.
I'd probably say Chase Young at two, just because they got it for a third round pick.
Yeah.
So you're not a fan of the Montez Sweat move. It sounds like it's okay.
No,
but
I love the Montez Sweat move, but I'm just saying trading a second for Montez Sweat when you traded a third for Chase Young, I feel like it's just a better deal.
Yeah. Also, it's the Bears getting Montez Sweat.
So it's not.
And the Bears aren't contending. The Seahawks, you know, kind of have a chance this year. Not like have a chance, but you know what I mean. Yeah. They're a better football team.
I honestly think this is
a legitimate addition.
And I don't know if you guys remember my preseason show. My NFC contender was the Seahawks. I said, remember when they had just beat the Lions?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm pretty high on the Seahawks, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm just saying, it's definitely.
can do that. I did that for like just a full minute at the beginning of the show.
We did give you a round of applause.
So yeah. I do want to say, after this trade, I could see the Seahawks winning the NFC West.
Yeah.
After this trade?
Yeah, after this trade. I mean, the 49ers defense has looked...
49ers got to kick it in gear, man.
49ers defense has looked terrible, and their offense without Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams are just horrific. Brock Purdy is coming back to his Mr. Irrelevant form. So
that's crazy.
that was nice.
When was his Mr. Irrelevant form exactly? He's been in college.
Yeah, that
was good enough at Iowa State.
Well, why was he drafted last?
That's why.
He was playing amazing football the first season. Then start the season, he was a little bit. I wouldn't say the same level, a little bit worse.
I mean, people were talking about Brock Purdy MVP for a second.
You could see there was something like, okay, it was a little bit slower.
We knew it wasn't a sustained. I think I at least knew that wasn't a sustainable MVP race for Brock Purdy.
1,000%.
I think you can say that pretty confidently. But that does speak to Kyle Shanahan as a coach, by the way. But anyway, regardless.
Now, I think he's more of a Jimmy Garoppolo type of player now.
The guy he took
A little bit better than Jimmy Garoppolo, I would say. Yeah,
he did take his job.
He did.
Fair, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know we've had a great discussion, and I know the energy has been high, and we're going to keep it going right after this break. But before we go, I just want to break down a little bit more of news that happened during this trade deadline. The Bills traded for Packers cornerback Rasul Douglas.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, that's a nice move.
Solid pickup.
It's so weird how he was so not working with the Eagles.
Because we used him poorly. He was when we had him, he was a safety for us, and then he switched to cornerback, which was his position in college, and all of a sudden,
and he's played well.
He played good football.
Believe it or not.
Whoa!
Well, no surprise there, because that just always happens to the Eagles. But,
you know. You're 6-1, man.
I mean,
7-1.
I'm looking back. You know, there's some.
Do you understand
things.
That we have almost inverse records right now? You guys need to think about that when you're talking about the Eagles sometimes. You need to consider
I'm
that
not
I'm in
satisfied.
Alone.
I mean, all these 49ers are still making moves, but, you know, we're still making moves too. But keep it going. The Vikings also made a move. Kirk Cousins, who's now out, unfortunately, for the year with a torn Achilles.
Brutal, man.
The Vikings just traded for Joshua Dobbs, now who was once backing up Kyler Murray. There's reports that Kyler Murray's getting back and getting reincorporated
in the offense?
I don't know.
Recuperated or reincorporated into the offense. I think those are the two words.
Okay. So either one was acceptable.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so you did half equals 100. Half and half of each. You got the full word out there.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, I think there's a lot of more moves that we can take a look at. But right now, we're going to go to break. Thank you for listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. You are listening to the spooky section.
Was that Dracula?
That was my best attempt. That's
what I mean. I guessed it. I got there.
It wasn't terrible.
I could have gone for like a werewolf type of thing.
Jalen, it was amazing. Like, I knew it was Dracula right away.
Connor's being a jerk, man. Jeez.
I mean, do you think I could get like a callback? Like
a callback?
Like, what was that?
Guaranteed, honestly.
Just a little bit. So let's get back to talking some NFL football here. We had a lot of good games this past weekend, but let's talk about the primetime games, the Raiders versus the Lions games. Just give me your thoughts, your takeaways about that. Fantasy, if you're a fantasy owner of Jahmyr Gibbs, you must be ecstatic with how he performed over this weekend.
And if you're an owner of Davante Adams, you must hate life right now.
Yeah, it's pretty bad for Davante Adams. But overall, what's your guys' thoughts?
Jimmy Garoppolo might be one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever laid my eyes on. After watching last night.
There you go.
Is it Jimmy G or is it? I mean, it's definitely parts of it.
He plays
a big role.
Yeah, he plays a good.
He
part.
Does his.
I don't
part.
Think Josh McDaniels makes Jimmy G overthrow Davante Adams wide open twice. So
yeah.
It's definitely Josh McDaniels too. But
yeah, I'm still not a Josh McDaniels fan by any stance. But it's, you know, you can't excuse some of the balls that Jimmy Garoppolo threw that game. Like, you just
that pick
just
six
can't.
Was pretty pretty disgusting.
Yeah, you just can't. And picks are weird in football. Like, you never really know whose fault it is.
But you knew it was Jimmy
this
G.
time. You knew. And also, I mean, also a big clue to that is Davante Adams after the game. Like, genuinely being speechless. That is insane to me.
Good thing there was not another cameraman in his presence.
That is true. Walking God off. Knows what happened you know, to that cameraman if he was in his path.
I think there's a lot of people who agree with Tanner, who's not a big Josh McDaniels fan, and I know one of them is definitely Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs. And probably Hunter Renfro as well.
Probably. Oh, I know it's Hunter Renfro, man. Whatever. What even happened to that guy?
He was like, all right.
I'm not
I
even
don't
sure
like
Hunter
you.
Renfro exists anymore.
Man. No, I was like, I was waiting for Hunter Renfro to pop up on
he
my
maybe,
trade
maybe,
deadline day.
Maybe locked in a basement somewhere, man. I'm not entirely
Free
sure.
Free Hunter Renfro.
For real,
honestly, but that Josh Jacobs quote. Do you remember what was it? It was like
it was a how do you think you can fix the offense? Like, that's not my problem.
That's not my problem. Did that really happen?
Yes,
that's actually
that
what you said.
Happened.
Yeah. Yes,
that's how bad it is over
yes,
there.
Yes,
not
it's
my
that
problem.
Bad.
Yeah,
that's how bad
crazy.
It is over there.
Oh my God,
I think Mark Davis has got to step in. I mean, there's reports or rumors that they can't fire Josh McDaniels because they're just so.
You know, if they fire Josh McDaniels, they will have no money.
Yeah. So
to hire a new coach.
It's and this is awful. Like, this is one of the worst.
This is awful.
I don't even know how to put this in the words. Like, this is just, like, I feel so bad.
Devonta Adams couldn't put it into words last night, so it's pretty bad.
You probably have the best receiver in the game, or, like,
one of.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You're just not throwing to him.
One catch for 11 yards when he could have had two separate touchdowns for 98 yards and, what, 60-something?
Yeah.
But no, Jimmy G decided to overthrow him twice.
It's brutal, man. And again, like, we talked about this a little bit off air, but this is not what Devonta Adams signed up for.
Mm-mm.
This is not at all why he came to the Raiders.
I heard a report that apparently they didn't even want Jimmy Garoppolo. That was not their plan. Apparently they were targeting it was some quarterback. I
probably
think it was
Aaron Rodgers.
No, they wanted to re-sign Derek Carr. That's actually
Carr. And then, they cut Derek Carr, though, didn't they?
I know, but I think they wanted to try to re-sign him to, like, better deal. So
can't believe Aiden O'Connell isn't good enough.
Like, why aren't they, like, at this point? Like,
You know, they should just take a shot on Nathan Peterman at this point. I mean,
true.
The goat,
Nathan Peterman.
So let me ask you this, for the line size of things, how are we feeling? Are you still top contender in your eyes, or?
It wasn't a very impressive outing.
Yeah, I think, and also I think you still got to be shaken by the bad loss to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do top contenders lose. What was it, 38-6?
Yeah, blowout.
That's brutal, man. Yeah. Like, that is college football kind of scores, and this is the NFL against a team who was considered to be near the top of the NFC. And again, I don't think they exactly got their groove back against the Raiders. Obviously, it was a good win. Shout out to Jahmyr Gibbs, 189 yards and a touchdown.
Jumping into the fans.
Can't knock that. Exactly. You can't knock that at all.
That woman who lifted him up, like, you think that was all her? Like, this is just real quick.
That'd be awesome. But, I mean, I don't know for sure, to be honest, but I hope she does. I hope she did. That would be sick.
Yeah, no, I saw that replay, and I was like, that's really impressive if she did that.
Yeah.
But also, just from the Lions' perspective, let's talk about how they also traded for Donovan Peoples-Jones. The Lions,
I'm huge on that.
2025 sixth-round pick. That's all it takes. That was very surprising for the Browns.
I'm very huge on Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't think it's terribly surprising that it took a 2025 sixth round to get him.
Mm-hmm.
But they could use
for that
some,
value. Like, you think? I mean,
we're talking about Donovan Peoples-Jones, man.
Yeah,
like,
he's not bad.
Yeah, he's been. I mean, last year he was very. He was their wide receiver too, I think.
Yeah, he was.
And he was still putting up good numbers.
Yeah, so. I believe in him as a player. I'm just, in the NFL, if the guy isn't producing, it is easy to trade for.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Definitely limited his role big time, especially since Elijah Moore's come on.
And also, I mean, the Lions—they just cut Marvin Jones.
He stepped away.
No, yeah, he stepped away from football
for really?
Personal reasons. I thought
I could have sworn I thought they cut him.
But, they did cut him, but, like, you know, he is more.
It
so,
was a mutual thing. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think he wasn't producing, and he had some stuff going on, like, off the football field, and he was like, "This is not the best time."
They could use Donovan Peoples Jones. He's somewhat of a bigger guy at receiver, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
so,
a great
vet
from what we hear.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think it's a really good call, especially for the current receiver roles in that team. Amon-Ra is a talented slot guy. Jameson Williams is a solid deep threat, but you don't really have a guy that's, you know, big and you want on the outside.
Josh Reynolds said sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's
you want some
here
depth, though, I guess. You want somebody who can come in and offer to, you know, maybe step up that to have multiple
options.
That
makes sense.
On the field.
It's kind of like how the Eagles traded for, like, signed Julio Jones. Just
Had an insane touchdown.
A dart
he was
hurt,
getting,
by the way.
He got lit up
and my,
catching that.
My favorite part about that touchdown for Julio Jones was every single Eagle came running full speed at him to hug him and celebrate him because that's
the
how
whole
much
O-line.
That's how much he means to this game. So that was just awesome.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys about the other game, Chargers versus Bears. Very short-lived. I don't think there's much to take away from this game.
Yeah.
Bears are bad. Chargers are not as bad. I think that's pretty – yeah. It summed it up pretty well.
That's, I think you got it. Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all we can say. So let me ask you this. I know the Bears didn't win, but how do you feel? Does Justin Fields come back? I think they're giving Tyler Bagent. Bagent?
Yeah.
Tyler Bagent.
Is it Tyler or Tyson?
No, it's like Bagent, Bagent, something like that.
I was talking about Tyson or Tyler.
It's Tyson.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You only half listened to me. But.
I was like, oh, no, it's definitely.
Tuned
his
in
last,
halfway through the sentence.
His last name is definitely like Bajent or something.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah. I thought you were saying, is it Tyler Tyson? I was like,
it's
no.
It's okay, man. I'll get over it. But but yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to. I mean, but he's been good, Tyson Bagent.
Better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Do what?
Better than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think that's unfair to say.
I don't think it's hard to be better than Jimmy Garoppolo at this point in his career.
Why didn't the Raiders trade for Josh Dobbs? That's what blows my mind.
They should have.
Yeah. That was a very realistic move they could have done.
I don't get that. I just don't get what they're doing. But anyway, who am I to ask questions?
Speaking of Josh Dobbs, when was it Jonathan Gannon, when he came out and said that the starting quarterback will either be Kyler Murray or their
Clayton
rookie?
Toon?
Yeah, Clayton Toon.
Man.
Where's Josh Dobbs? And now it makes sense.
Because they're no longer in Arizona.
They were getting ready to ship him off. Well, since we're at the trade deadline, we're kind of almost at the halfway point. We're basically at the halfway point for most teams. So let me ask you,
Nothing, man. We're at the halfway point. We're good.
You like the way I worded that?
It's okay. You're very unsure of where the half point was.
It's somewhere in this point.
In the next week.
Yeah. So we're at the halfway point. So let me ask you guys, let's revisit the contenders. Who's your favorites out of the NFC, your AFC? What teams have made a huge jump in your book or taken a step back? I'm curious to see your opinion. Evan, let's start with you.
I think this season's just been a real confusing one. We don't have any top contenders, someone that you go into and you know for sure you're not going to win the game. Coming into the season, I thought that was the 49ers, but we've seen what's happened to them. I think in the NFC right now, the scariest team is the Eagles. That's who no one wants to play. But I think one of those little ankle-biter teams that is going to rough some...
I'm a huge fan of the word ankle-biter.
I've never... I am a huge fan of that description for an NFL team.
Ankle-biters is just such
that's
a great...
That's awesome, dude.
Evan, I think all of us just looked up and looked at each other.
No, I genuinely... There is no joke here. I really like the use of the word ankle-biter.
It's definitely...
Ankle-biter.
I'm going to
have to
steal
that. Be a
new
thing? We could just say ankle-biters?
I think it's a really
good... Please, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, sorry.
So, I think one of those teams that is just going to stick around and still be good and give people trouble. I think the Seahawks. They've obviously added.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't want to mess up his name.
Leonard Williams.
And they've had good wins. Obviously, the Lions are still a good team. They've struggled the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think they're on the same tier as the Seahawks right now. So NFC, I'll say Eagles, tier one. Seahawks, Lions, tier two, and then somewhere is the 49ers.
Ankle biting.
So I don't know where they are right now.
So the 49ers are out of your top two tiers in the NFC now?
They're hanging in limbo.
There you go.
They're like one of my favorites.
Hanging in limbo, man.
What are we doing?
But they've just shown a lot of uncertainty, and I do agree with Connor that that's a team destined to fizzle out in the playoffs. And especially if they aren't doing good in the regular season, then I think that just spells doom for them.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, I have a question. Where are the Cowboys in all of this?
Ooh. That's a good question.
The Cowboys.
I don't know. I don't know with that offense. What with Dakota Prescott at
Dakota Prescott.
I don't ever
Shout
see them
Dakota Prescott,
making
man.
A Super Bowl.
That's his name, man. Jalen, did you not know his name was Dakota?
Just call me on card, I'm sorry.
Please continue.
I don't see them being a Super Bowl or even conference championship contender.
Yeah.
With that offense.
What about what they just did to the Rams, though?
They have a great defense. They really do. But in the NFL, you need a great defense and you need a great offense.
Yeah.
So... I think we all know where my NFC contenders are, you know.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh.
I don't think that changed.
Really?
I know, it's surprising.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
But I like Seattle. I think Seattle's going to win the division. Yeah. I think they're going to just be better than the 49ers to close out the year. But I still think the 49ers will close the season strong just because if they get everybody healthy and they put the pieces together,
yeah,
they'll be the top wild card team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think the ankle biter team of the NFC would probably be low-key the – I wouldn't be surprised if it's
low-key
the Vikings.
I mean, Josh
Dobbs.
They're getting
Justin Jefferson back soon.
I can't say I trust that team with that. I mean, dude, Kirk Cousins is a good football player.
I'm not saying like they're gonna do anything, but
it sounds like they're starting to get into
Josh
the
Dobbs
a
is a
bit.
Guy who wants to win. I mean, so I see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
but
they're
getting into a rhythm. I mean, but Kirk Cousins literally just he's out for the season, yeah. man.
I'm not saying they're gonna be scary. I'm just saying you can't overlook them. They'll be an ankle biter. They'll be an annoying team to play when
that's
it comes
fair.
To it.
I don't know. I'm somewhat negative about the Vikings at this point, but. I don't know. For me, for the NFC, I unfortunately have to say the Eagles are probably still looking like the best team in the NFC. AFC is obviously a lot more interesting. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs are always going to contend, no matter what.
But they have a big injury with Nick Bolton, who's
that is a big injury.
Broke his wrist, I believe. I think he's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
I believe he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, again, I just think they're going to find their way deep into the playoffs. I think they just will.
Yeah. Surprised we didn't see a move from them, but it looks like more and more that they're getting – I mean, some of the receivers, like Rashee Rice, looks more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And I was surprised with the pick of Rashee Rice when they made that. Mm. But, I mean, hey, man, it's worked out. He's been a good player for him. But
good low-key fantasy pickup, too, for anyone.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's a streamer. Mm-hmm.
Also, but I do want to bring up the Ravens again. I think if those, they can avoid more skill position disasters like they had a few weeks ago, that is a really good football team. Lamar Jackson's playing great football. I'm overall a fan of what Monken is doing with that offense. I really like the direction that the Ravens are headed.
Yeah, no, I think you had the Ravens, like we said earlier.
I did. They were my AFC contender at the beginning.
Now, let me ask you, as someone who has the Ravens going all the way, Bengals are kind of an AFC team that's starting to look better and better each week. We've talked about them a little bit, especially now with Joe Burrow looking a little bit healthy. T. Higgins looks healthy again. I know he's just catching passes. Like, I know you had him on fantasy. I apologize. I'm suffering there with you, but he looks a lot better now. Where do the Bengals rank for you in your – like, as Evan put it, when you put it in different tiers, what tier are they for you?
I should have made tiers for mine. I'd probably put them, in terms of the AFC, I'd probably put them in, like, a tier 3 and climbing conversation, if that makes sense. I think they belong in a conversation with everybody else in terms of who's going to take the AFC. Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to take the AFC, but in terms of just playoff outlook, it's also kind of similar to the Chiefs. So that team we know is very capable of really good football. Obviously a scary start. But I'm going to say I still think I'm confident. It'll be interesting. I'm not sure when the next Ravens-Bengals game is.
It's November 16th.
November 16th. That will be a big game.
See how we do business
they
here?
Have a lot of
– just like that.
They have a lot of big games coming up.
Yeah.
The Ravens.
The Ravens do.
They have Seattle, Browns, Bengals, Chargers, Rams, then Jaguars, Niners, Dolphins, and then endless Steelers.
That's they'll have to prove their mettle, I guess, as towards the end of the season.
It's funny.
Want to be the best, beat the best.
Same with the NFC. The Eagles, who you guys mentioned, is your tier one. They're about to come up on a hard gauntlet as well.
They already started the gauntlet.
A little bit, low-key. So I think that's very interesting. Now, Tanner, just before we move off from the AFC, and then I'll get your guys' opinions before we quickly go to break, the Jets. They're doing a lot better than people expected with Aaron Rodgers out. They're talking about Aaron Rodgers coming back. He's out there on the field. He's throwing. He's moving a little bit.
Right.
Let's say for whatever weird reason, Aaron Rodgers comes back. Maybe somehow, some way. What are the Jets looking like?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers completely changes that offense. I think it'll be a little weird because they've kind of changed the way the entire offense runs with Zach Wilson at the helm. So they'll have to revert. But, you know, the whole offseason they were working under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback, so they have a system in place for that. It'll be a bit of a weird transition, and if he comes back in for, like, an early playoff game or something like that, then I think I would not have as high an outlook on the Jets. But at the same time, if they are comfortable with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, then, I mean, that team looks really – we know how dominant that defense is.
Yeah.
And it will not take much offensive production for them to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, if you talk about Aaron Rodgers coming in at the end of the season, I know Zach Wilson, he's looked a lot better recently, but if we just look at it as a new quarterback that hasn't played since training camp coming into, I guess, what would it be like week 19 if it was playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't it's weird to think about, because just the leader of the offense who hasn't been there the whole season just comes out of nowhere and just tries to pick up where he left off. I know.
He's still around the team, though.
He's still around the team, but he's not playing.
Right. It's still a big difference.
Yeah, he doesn't get the chemistry down with the receivers where they like it. I know he had a little bit of time during training camp, so it'll be interesting to see. I know if they have a playoff game, it's going to be bumping a lot of people tuning in to actually see a real debut from Aaron Rodgers, but it's going to be weird. I don't know how they'll handle that.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be a weird situation, and we're going to – hopefully for the best. Like, hopefully Zach Wilson keeps balling a little bit and shown like that he probably can't do well in the playoffs. But I mean, we'll see what happens. As for right now, you got to be like what you're seeing out of Zach Wilson and still keeping this team afloat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Before we had to break, the last thing I just wanted to mention is I'm just a little surprised we saw nothing out of the Broncos. They traded away Randy Gregory early. And it seems like that was probably. I mean, it seems like they have a lot of trade assets, but they just decided.
After beating the Chiefs, man.
I mean, yeah. But
hey,
I mean, credit to them.
Yeah. Maybe they just decided they're contenders now.
Yeah.
Maybe they did.
What if they flipped the script? What if they just won every
after
single
losing
game?
By 50 points to a football team in the game? If they actually became a legit team, that would be awesome.
That'd just be a scary sight to see.
Broncos country.
But you are listening
Let's
to
ride.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. You are listening to WVUA 90.7, and we'll be right back after this break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You are listening to the Spooky Session.
Oh, my goodness.
what was that impersonation?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, at this point, we're
that
going
one was
for
like,
anything.
It's okay.
Too much?
Nah,
too little.
It's too okay. Much? It's too much? I don't think it's too much, too little. I maybe just didn't get the reference. That's all.
Evan's over here dying in the exile room right now.
Yeah,
so.
Dude.
Oh, he's
let's
really.
Let's not throw it
right
to
now.
Connor for at least two more minutes, man. I can tell he needs the time.
So,
he's coughing right now, dude.
So,
oh my God, he's
whatever. Red. So while Evan,
let's keep going.
Hey,
let's move on.
He approves of it.
while Evan tries to get back in the spooky season.
Well, I guess I didn't scare him at all, so I failed.
You could have. He's coughing, man.
I mean, you might have scared.
I took his breath away. That's
yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. So I want to give my AFC contenders and ankle biters.
There you go.
So,
does anybody actually get bitten in their ankles? Like just.
In I mean,
general?
It's annoying.
I mean,
is that the question you're asking me?
I'm
right
just
now?
Thinking of the phrase. I can't think of. You know,
I
it doesn't matter.
To be honest, in my reference of ankle biters, I know this is football shorting a little off topic for a second.
Go ahead.
But in Call of Duty Zombies,
wow.
Ankle biters are the ones that don't have the legs and they're on the ground. They're crawling crawlers. That was another. I think it's another name for crawlers, which is what I called them back in the day. But I think that's at least what I think the reference is.
When I think of ankle biters, I think like a little like just dog or something that keeps nipping at your ankles, and I kind of just punt it. But
let's keep moving on so Connor doesn't get in trouble for what he just said.
So you're contenders.
And no, I do not punt the dog. It's just like I have to clarify. Dude. It's just a figure of speech.
It's a figure of speech. I'm glad
you
want to punt. How is punting a dog a figure of speech?
It's like, oh, I want to punt this thing. I'm not going to punt it. It's just like, it's annoying.
It's kind of like that old like cartoon, like, oh, I woulda. Why?
Yeah, why I oughta.
But you don't.
But
what are you two talking about, dude? All right, never mind,
let's move on. My AFC contenders right now, I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Isn't it your two AFC contenders and one of them is the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah.
Out of your two? Okay.
That's my one that maybe not everybody
has.
Is
that your favorite, though?
Oh, okay. So it's not like your top two AFC contenders, or it is?
That's one of my AFC contenders, my top two.
Okay.
I would say my other one would probably be, I guess, the Chiefs. I don't want to say the Chiefs.
He just doesn't want to say the Chiefs.
But I cannot include the Chiefs.
Do you like the Chiefs or the Ravens more? And if you like the Chiefs more, tell us why.
I like the Chiefs a little bit more just because they've proven they can get there and do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, proven track record.
Yeah. The Ravens, I like what Lamar brings. I know Lamar has been insane this year.
He's been so good, man.
I know Mark Andrews is good. Odell has been non-existent. I know. Didn't Joey Porter Jr. tell him to go take care of his kids?
That was hilarious. Yeah, he told him to go spend time with his family, man.
So I,
a rookie corner so telling you that is, dude, that is a stain on OBJ's legacy. I promise you.
But Odell hasn't done anything this year. So
no, he hasn't at
all. It's kind of warranted. Zay Flowers has looked really good far.
Should have been a Charger, man. I'll stand by that. Until
Quentin Johnson.
Struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's just not being used correctly or he's just not playing well.
Yeah.
So, but I like what the rookie is doing with the Ravens right now. I know the defense has looked pretty good, but just with the whole AFC North in general, it's always tough to play there. The whole Steelers defense looks really good.
Right.
Kenny Pickett can get things going with George Pickens. I know Deontay Johnson just came back, and that's going to open up the whole realm. But
I'm not too happy about the refs.
I've talked about the Steelers, I think, a little bit before. But I don't think Kenny Pickett's very good, man.
Yeah, he's not good.
I think he's a bad quarterback.
He's not good.
We talked about this last week. Yeah, he's struggling.
Yeah. I think I went on a long tangent, if I remember correctly. I'll stop talking about the Steelers.
If the Browns don't play Deshaun Watson anymore and put in P.J. Walker, they'll be a good team.
Yeah.
The Bengals are – Joe Burrow has his, you know, he always has his first four bad games, and all of a sudden,
it's Joe Burrow
becomes Joe Burr. Isn't that what the kids refer to him as, Joe Burrow?
That's embarrassing, man. I can't believe you just said that on air.
I'm just quoting what everyone says.
All right, dude.
What?
He'll personally never catch me saying Joe Burr on air.
Joe Scheisty.
I mean, like, I can't.
Joe Burrow.
I can't roll my R, so that's I'm impressed.
I just wanted to roll my R because I know people who can't.
Well,
you succeeded. That's crazy.
You succeeded.
Oh my god!
They're out there,
and I'm not referring to Jalen. I'm not referring to Jalen.
Oh, I mean,
okay.
I know somebody else who cannot roll their R's. They will not be named.
You're doing this despite them, even though that one person.
Awesome.
But I do like what the Bengals are bringing. So the reason I wouldn't say Ravens is just because they have a lot going on in their division, and they could easily just be a wild card team.
Right.
Yeah. I think Evan, what are you just going to say? The Dolphins.
I'm going to go back to the tiers, and for tier one, I really have nobody. Like,
that's fair. That's fair.
That's not a discredit to any AFC team, but I think it's more of a testament to how competitive the AFC is.
I think you make a very good point. Peter Schrager on NFL Network, not to cut you off just real quick, he said this is probably the first year we don't have a clear cut. Just favorite, a team that we like, and he was saying it's mostly because some of the teams that we like the Chiefs and like the Eagles, we saw them lose in prime time, especially one of the more.
Right.
I think the game that the Eagles lost, it was the highest viewed on Fox for the.
Like, that's brutal.
Like, I know. So a lot of people,
Jalen? I mean, Tanner.
I'm over here.
I said it's brutal.
Brutal?
We lose games on 12 p.m. on like 12 p.m. Sunday games, man. We're good. We're not getting publicly embarrassed at least.
Well, I mean, I can't really say anything. Y'all won your first game of the season.
Exactly,
so.
Man.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Keep going.
Congrats.
Let me have this one.
But yeah, but Evan, just to your point, I think you made a great point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Oh, man. And then tier two, I'm gonna go into Super Bowl contenders, and these are these are people who I think might not have the best regular season, but once it gets to playoff time, these are the teams that are going to be able to beat anybody who comes in between them.
That makes
sense. And I think the three teams that have that knockout power, for example, are Kansas City, Miami, and Cincinnati. And even though Cincinnati is kind of in the middle of the rankings right now, when it gets to that point, they're the team that I think can fight through it. And on the tier right below that, I think Baltimore, I don't think they're a top team like everyone says, but I think they're a team who...
Like everyone.
I think a lot of people...
To me.
No.
Like
I've
everyone
heard
in this
so
room.
Many people say Baltimore's a top two team, and I just don't see it. They're going to beat...
What are the Ravens missing, in your opinion, that makes you have them at your tier three?
I don't know. Just
is it the game?
He doesn't know.
It's the eye test.
Yeah, it's really the eye test.
Matt Jones is a good quarterback, but he's not a good quarterback. He's decent, but he's not decent.
Man. No, okay. let's give him a chance.
I called Zach Wilson being a good quarterback this season. So
that's true.
Keep going though.
Let's give him a chance about the Ravens.
I think the Ravens. This sounds counterintuitive, in their upcoming game against Miami in December, they have a good chance of winning that game.
Right.
But in the playoffs, I don't see them beating in a row Miami and then the Chiefs, and if it gets to it, the Bengals. I don't see them beating three top teams in a row.
Why not?
Just because I don't think they're that good. I think.
Why are they not that good?
Is it more firm, like
is there like something about this team that you are worried about? Like, is it it's a not they can't put points up on the board?
Certain sort of thing, but I think to be the best team, you got to have these dominant wins. You got to show people, and even though Kansas City hasn't been as dominant as they have in the past, we know it's Kansas City. We know
they're going to be great in the playoffs, no matter what.
They turn it up. They rev it up.
Yeah.
They have Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce, and you can't go wrong with that.
Absolutely. That big three is always something.
It's the gauntlet.
Same with Joe Burrow. I hate the dude. As a, as a Bama fan, as a Tua fan, he's just the bane of my existence.
As a Mac Jones fan?
I do not like Mac Jones. But Joe Burrow, he is Joe Shiesty. He can turn it on.
Dude, I will not let us refer to Joe Shiesty as like an alternate personality. I will not let that happen on this show.
Joe Shiesty.
I will not let that happen.
There's just no person you don't know who that is? Who can turn it on.
That's Joe Shiesty.
That right there is Joe Shiesty, a.k.a. Joe Brr, a.k.a. Joe Burrow. We're going to start referring to him as his online nicknames. His social media nicknames.
Oh, God.
Boy, all right. And in the tier with the Ravens are Jaguars and Buffalo. Okay. Those are teams that are going to beat good teams, but they aren't going to win a Super Bowl. They aren't going to play for a Super Bowl. And Baltimore could get there. Not this year, I don't think, but they definitely – I think Lamar is a great quarterback. He's easily top five, arguably top three. I haven't really, sat down and looked at a list. But I think they could compete for a Super Bowl very soon, not this year.
Okay, I like that. Especially – I get what you're saying, especially because they have so many new pieces and still some things to figure out. And especially with that one loss, they weren't playing to their expectations.
Yeah. A lot of drops. It was just a weird game.
Oh.
So I get your point there.
Yeah.
In my second-tier Super Bowl contender tier, I do want to highlight an upcoming matchup this week. We have a healthy Dolphins squad minus Devon Achan going against a healthy minus Nick Bolton Kansas City Chiefs team. And I think this is just a kind of – test for both teams.
A little preview?
Yeah. Both teams have been doubted for playing lesser opponents and beating them by a good amount. And we've seen when the Chiefs played the Lions, who are a good team, they lost a close game. Then they lost to the Broncos. That's a whole nother story. But every time the Dolphins have played a good team, Bills and Eagles, they got kind of whooped. So this is just a big test for both teams.
I know that's a very, very big game. Well, there's also another big game. Bengals-Bills this week.
That is a big game.
So I'm excited to see that.
That'll I think the Bengals come out on top.
Let's just go around before we head off air, just to end it. Give me your predictions for the Bengals and Bills, and then Dolphins and Chiefs. Let's start with Tanner.
Okay. Bengals-Bills, I am going to take... I'm going to take the Bengals. I think they're on the up. I think those injuries to their secondary is going to be brutal. It's hard to guard Jamar Chase. That's my Bengals Bills.
I'm going Bengals.
Bengals.
Oh, wow. I think I'm going to go Bills.
There you go.
And
having
then
fun.
Dolphins, Chiefs?
Dolphins, Chiefs. I'm going to go Chiefs. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to tear up that Vic Fangio defense.
I'm going to go Dolphins.
Dolphins by, I want to say, 45 to 20.
I'm going
to
go.
Wow. Whoa.
I think we have a Tua legacy.
Evan is the let's remind everybody, Evan is the Dolphins fan.
That's
true.
But is this the first matchup where Tyreek Hill's coming back to Kansas City?
Yeah, it is.
So that's why I'm gonna pick the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But I think that probably concludes it for our spooky show.
Spooky.
And just to close it, we'll be back next week. And then maybe more, we'll talk about Will Levis and his emergence.
I want to talk about that.
Hopefully, it's not much of an emergence next week, but we'll see.
Yeah, just more of just being complacent.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening to the student show, the student section, or the spooky section on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone.